Albert Mohler Program, your place for intelligent Christian conversation about the issues that matter. Dr. Mohler is president of the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary and one of the nation's leading theologians and cultural commentators. To get online with Dr. Mohler, call toll-free nationwide, 1-877-893-TALK. That's 1-877-893-8255. Now, here's your host, Dr. Albert Mohler.
Hello, America. Welcome to the Albert Mohler Program. We're going to be talking about books today. We're going to be talking about reading, in particular, summer reading as our opportunity. So we're going to be talking about an article that I wrote earlier this week in which I recommended 10 books for reading, and especially for summer reading. We're going to talk about what they are and why I recommended them. And yet we're also just going to talk about reading. And since the summer reading is before us, I really want to invite you to think about talking about the kind of reading that's fun. And talking about the kind of books that Christians would find profit in reading. And we're going to have a good conversation. It'll be fun. The phone number is 877-893-8255. That's 877-893-TALK. Let me tell you, in Louisville, Kentucky today, 86 degrees. It's like summer is definitely here. And I guess by definition, that means anything you read now here is summer reading, probably where you are, too. But I'm talking about the kind of summer reading that we really know. We're putting off a stack of books until the summer. Let's talk about why reading is important. We may want to talk about how to encourage kids to read and what to read. We may want to talk about how to maximize our reading, how to do worldview analysis while we're reading, how to think while we're reading, how to retain what we're reading, and how to rediscover what it means just to really enjoy reading. Now, there's some other things we could talk about. I published this article and reviewed 10 books that I really wanted to recommend. But some of those books on that list are not found on the shelves of my library. They're found in electronic form on my iPad. That's a revolution. And this article represents the first time I have ever actually reviewed books that I read entirely in digital form. And that's a new world. Let's talk about what's on your mind when it comes to summer reading. It's a Friday afternoon, a good time to have this discussion. The number is 877-893-8255. That's 877-893-TALK. We're going to talk about what we're reading, why, and why it matters. First, to review some other issues in the news, I publish at my website today at albertmohler.com a very important article. And I'm telling you it's important because I put a lot of time and a lot of work in it. It's about 2,000 words on homosexuality in the military, what's really at stake. And let me just kind of trip you up on something and mark your card, as they say, on something here. There are many conservatives who aren't touching this issue at all. There are many Christians who aren't touching this issue at all. There are many leaders who aren't touching this issue at all because they sense that the cultural momentum, the public opinion has shifted and it's simply a done deal. Well, it may be a done deal politically. It may be that the repeal of Don't Ask, Don't Tell is pretty much a political done deal. But that does not mean that we do not have the responsibility to weigh the issue in the balances and understand what it will mean. To take stock of the situation and understand what is really at stake. That's why I wrote the article. I'm suggesting there are three big issues. The first of them is the centrality of sexual orientation. You know, are we really ready for a military that includes people who are publicly out of the closet? Out? I mean, are we taking into account what that means? It's going to be a massive change. The second issue is the U.S. military and the shape of American culture. Do we really understand what's going on when the military makes a transformation? And you talk about a reversal of policy. In one day, when that policy changes, homosexuality will go from being something that the United States military felt was reason enough for a discharge to something that is normalized to the extent that if you're going to be a part of military esprit de corps, you can't even question the policy. And you talk about a moral revolution. In a matter of the stroke of a pen, when the president signs that law and whatever new policy goes into effect, it's a moral revolution that will not end with the military. It will have a great deal to do with the totality of the American society. The third issue is religious liberty. Conviction collides with the new military culture. What happens when Don't Ask, Don't Tell is repealed and homosexuality is normalized and you're a soldier who believes homosexuality is a sin? Are you then violating unit cohesion? Are you then in a position in which holding biblically based beliefs, you're simply going to have to sublimate those beliefs to a military protocol, in which case you'll be sanctioned if it's known that you believe that homosexuality is a sin? What if you're a chaplain in the military? You know, one of the issues I raise in this is that if this goes through, basically you're only going to have liberals serving in the chaplaincy, theological liberals, because you're going to have people who can endorse homosexuality. Because it's practically inconceivable to imagine how a military chaplain could counsel someone that homosexuality is a sin when the Army now says, hey, it's just normal. All kinds of issues going on here. I wrote the article. I published it at albertroller.com. You'll find it at the very top of the page today. I'm going to leave it up over the weekend because I think it's that important. And I would encourage you to read it. Let me know what you think. I'd love to hear from you on that as well. We had a lively discussion yesterday. If you missed the program, you're going to want to go to the website at albertroller.com and listen to yesterday's program, because it was one of the best discussions of this issue I think you'll find anywhere. Outstanding callers, good conversation, good analysis. And I think when we look back to the summer of 2010, if indeed this goes through as is expected, we're going to see it as a crucial turning point in American society. Very interesting things going on. Talking about milestones, Facebook has announced that it is closing in on 500 million members. 500 million. There have been indications this was happening. Now it appears to have been confirmed by CEO Mark Zuckerberg as he was speaking at the Wall Street Journal's 8th annual All Things Digital Tech Conference. Very interesting. Zuckerberg said, we went from building a service in a dorm room to running a service that has 500 million people that 500 million people use. You know, very interesting conversations right now. A lot of debates about the privacy issues on Facebook. I think they're legitimate debates. I think it's something the parents in particular better give attention to. But it is interesting that evidently young people in particular and all over the world are ready to sign up and say just about everything about themselves on Facebook. 500 million. Of course, it's not just young people. I'm on Facebook. You're probably on Facebook, too. Or you know someone who is. One of the big issues that happened this week that is getting a lot of attention is the breakup of the marriage of Alan Tipper Gore. As Rachel Duke writes in the Washington Times, the notion that Alan Tipper Gore had a picture-perfect marriage was squelched this week when they announced they were splitting up. But that left many to wonder if it could happen to them. If it could happen to them, it could happen to anyone. You're talking about a couple. He is 62. She is 61. They were married for 40 years. Former high school sweethearts. Together forever, they said. When they first met in 1965, they married in 1970, raised four children, and obviously had a very public life together, and now they are apart. We're going to be talking about this on Monday of next week. I think it's important enough we need to talk about it, because there is a huge cultural conversation. I've been surprised, quite frankly, with the number of persons who have come up to me to say, I think this is an important issue. What should we think about this? I think we need to talk about it. We need to think it through, because, well, just consider some of these arguments. Now you have an argument coming from some people that couples after 25 years plus of marriage are reconsidering whether they really want to be together, because given longevity and the extension of life, they could be looking at another 25 years. They could be married to someone else. This is a new experience in human history. You have the intersection of longevity and frankly, money, the social mobility to make these kinds of moves, and the divorce culture. And it is a huge issue. We'll be talking about that as we're at least scheduling it for Monday's conversation on this program. We'll be ready to talk about it with you. It was 21 years ago today that indeed the biggest day was observed in the Tiananmen protest, which led to the bloody military crackdown on pro-democracy demonstrations there in Beijing. Very, very interesting. In Hong Kong, the semi-autonomous Chinese territory, the Associated Press reports there was an annual candlelight vigil that drew thousands to take advantage of freedom of speech that exists there that does not exist in Beijing. The crowd at Hong Kong's Victoria Park was large enough to fill six football stadiums, though there were no official estimates of the number of people. One participant, a businessman, said the Chinese Communist Party is a thug they will kill to protect their own interests. Well, that's what was discovered. It was certainly discovered 21 years ago that the Chinese regime that has been liberalizing in terms of the economy certainly is not liberalizing in terms of the stronghold of the Communist Party on not only the government, but the public life, not only of the city of Beijing, but of the entire nation of China. Very, very interesting. You start looking at this, and it's a reminder to you that government matters. It matters whether you're a citizen of the United States or China. Just ask those in China who were there 21 years ago in Tiananmen Square. Those students who were then very young, the survivors of that massacre, are now probably middle-aged with teenage children. But it's a reminder to us that freedom never comes without a cost. that indeed it does matter whether the people of the nation are recognized as the ones who are indeed the course and reason and substance and authority for the government. The kind of one-party dictatorship you have in China, it turns out, is not necessarily an economic disaster as it was in Russia. But when it comes to human liberty, human values, and human freedom, still an unmitigated disaster. Remember, 21 years ago today, the crackdown and the massacre in Tiananmen Square. We're going to come back to talk about summer reading. What should we be reading? How should we be reading? What should we be thinking about when it comes to reading? Give me a call at 877-893-8255. You're listening to the Albert Mueller Program. Welcome back to the Albert Mueller Program. Let's talk about reading. You know, let me tell you something. Jeff Bezos of Amazon.com was recently talking about the Kindle versus the iPad. Now, that may not be a raging controversy or competition that has your attention, but it has mine. I have used a Kindle. I like the Kindle. It's not the same thing as holding a book in your hands, but frankly, there's some books you don't need to hold in your hands. And yeah, I now have an iPad. And my iPad's got lots of books on it, and I use three different readers on it. I've got the iBook that Apple uses, and then my Kindle is on it. And boy, does a Kindle just stream! It works wonderfully on the iPad. And as of yesterday, Barnes & Noble has its Barnes & Noble e-reader available for the iPad, and I've been using that too. But the debate was going on that as Jeff Bezos was being pressed, are you going to change the Kindle so that it comes out with a color screen and, better maneuverability for web browsing and all the rest? And he made an interesting statement. It's one of those things that catches you by surprise and you go, wow, here's what he said. And he said, the Kindle is for serious readers, but we're not really interested in marketing the Kindle to people who want to use the machine to surf the web or all the rest. It is for reading. And he said, we're going after the most serious readers, and we're basically making it a reading device, period. It does other things, but that is the main purpose. And at it, he means that they intend to excel. And here's what's interesting. He said, we know that means, now listen to this, we know that means that it's a smaller market, because he said 90% of the households in America are basically non-reading households. 90%. That's shocking, isn't it? I saw a statistic the other day that indicated that the average college graduate reads only one significant nonfiction book between graduation and retirement. Now, they read other things. But just in terms of this, nonfiction, that means some kind of serious book on politics or culture or art or whatever. In other words, what happens after graduation is that people tend to read novels. They tend to read other things, if they read at all. But we're turning ourselves into a nation separated by a great chasm between the readers and the non-readers. And you'll recall the old adage that the man who doesn't read has no material advantage over one who can't read. If you can read but you don't read, you're failing to have as much increase and contribution to your life as the one that can't read. It's a very interesting thing, and yet I receive probably more questions on a regular basis about reading than almost anything else. And then that tells me that the people who listen to my program and the people who go to my website are among the 10% identified by Jeff Bezos of Amazon.com as readers and representing reading households. And I consider that a matter of encouragement. I want to tell you that reading is not the most important thing in life. It's not. But being made in the image of God and being given the capacity for language for the glory of God and being given the ability to communicate through written language, it is an incredible stewardship for human beings to be able to write and to be able to read. And in terms of the conveyance of information and serious ideas, it is almost impossible to imagine how that can be done without books. And that's not a new issue. The book, in terms of the codex being made of pages between two covers, that's a fairly recent development. When you have the Apostle Paul write to Timothy, bring the books and the parchments, he was not talking about books like you're going to go and find at your local bookstore that are two covers with pages in the middle. Instead, they were mostly scrolls. But nonetheless, they were still books. They were written documents. And it's been indispensable to learning, indispensable to information, indispensable to culture, and also tremendous entertainment and pleasure. But there's more to it than that, isn't there? As Christians, we're highly committed to literacy because we believe that God has revealed himself to us in a written word that is our responsibility to read, to study, and to come to know. And that's why Christians have been at the forefront of the literacy movement, wherever it's been found, in an effort to say, look, it's not just about economic advance. It's not just about improving the life of the mind. It is about being able, indeed, to read, most importantly, the Word of God and to hear what God, the divine author of Scripture, is telling us in his Word. I find a great deal of joy in reading. That's something I discovered very early in life. I discovered very early in life as a child sitting on the lap of my parents and grandparents that I loved being read to. And I had an eagerness, even as a very young child, to learn to read. And since then, I think it's fair to say, I haven't stopped. I want to know what you're thinking about reading. I want to know what kind of books you intend to read. I put out a major article for a summer reading list. I'm going to talk about those books in just a few minutes. 10 books I recommended for summer reading. And by the way, if you're looking for a gift for a father or a father-in-law or a father-type person for Father's Day, I'll tell you, any one of these 10 books, any books off of this list, should be exactly the kind of books that I think a father would want to read and would profit by reading. Father, brother, you name it. And far beyond just males reading it, although I think it's kind of a male-oriented list, which, by the way, no apologies for doing, because books are marketed in this country overwhelmingly to females. It's much easier for females to get the number, to get the books, rather than for males, men, and especially boys. How do you get boys to read? Interesting question. I want to talk about what you want to talk about when it comes to reading. The phone number is 877-893-8255. That's 877-893-TALK. Chris wrote it on Facebook to say he and another friend are working their way through the books that we distributed together for the Gospel Conference. Also intends to read, some other very important books. And I love this. He writes in to say he plans to read The History of Southern Seminary by Gregory Wills, outstanding book, published Oxford University Press. A phenomenal story. Good for you, Chris. And then he intends to read some other things, including a book entitled Salt, A History. Okay, I haven't read that book yet. But Chris, God bless you. You just gave me a book I got to read because I don't know much about the history of salt. Right now, I already am fueled with an appetite to know about the history of salt. I've got to know about salt and its history, because that kind of history book gets into the development of a culture and it reveals things you might not know. I have a feeling it's going to talk about salt as a preservative of food. It's going to talk about salt as such an important commodity that the word salary actually comes from the salt that was distributed as income to Roman soldiers. I have a feeling it's going to be really important. So I'm looking forward to that word. Let's talk about books. What are you reading and why? When we come back, I'm going to talk about the 10 books that I recommended for this summer season and why. I got to tell you right up front, they're pretty heavy in history. Because when I think about reading, and reading especially for fun, with a kind of a holiday summer context coming up, summer vacation, time at the beach, time at the cabin, time in the mountains, or just frankly, you know, time around the house that you might be able to read something you wouldn't read another time of the year, that's where I go. But I read fiction too. I read novels. I'll tell you the honest truth. It's harder to recommend novels for two reasons. Number one, they are a more particular taste. And number two, they often raise issues that I would recommend to some people and not to others. What are you thinking about? How about your kids? How many of you as parents right now have kids who already have a stack of books they intend to read this summer? And how many of you are going to take the lead as parents to say, hey, here's a stack of books. I want you to read these this summer. One of the things we talked about in this program some time back is that there is an educational deficit when kids spend time out of class in the summer. You can make up for that. You can overcome that. You can gain ground rather than lose ground if you make sure your kids are reading during the summer. Give me a call at 877-893-8255. That's 877-893-TALK. Coast to coast and with listeners around the world, you're listening to the Albert Mueller Program.
listening to the Albert Mohler Program, your place for intelligent Christian conversation about the issues that matter. To get online, call toll-free 1-877-893-TALK. That's 1-877-893-8255. Or go to www.albertmohler.com. Here again is your host, Dr. Albert Mohler.
Welcome back to the Albert Mohler Program. The phone number is 877-893-8255. Let's go to Martinsburg, Pennsylvania. John's listening on WTLR. What are you going to be reading, John?
I'm going to be reading a commentary by R.C. Sproul, St. Andrews, on a book of Romans, and I'm waiting here. It should come in a couple of days. John MacArthur's New Testament, the book of Luke, chapters 1 through 5. I really love those. I really enjoy both of those pastors and doctors, preachers. They're great, sound theology, and just great books to read.
They certainly are, and they're two good friends of mine. Let me ask you, John, you raised the issue of biblical commentaries. When you say you read commentaries, tell me how you read them. I mean, do you sit down in a chair and read through it? You know, are you studying it with the scripture open? How do you do that?
Well, what I do is, like, the book of Matthew's, John MacArthur has four volumes. I will take, like, four chapters. I read the Bible at least four times. I'll just sit down and read, chapter 1 through 4. I'll read that on Monday, two times. Then the next day, I'll read the John MacArthur chapters 1 through 4, the commentary. First, I read the Bible one day, the chapters I'm going to read, and I'll study the commentary, try to memorize it. Then I'll take specific verses, or just one verse, and go through it a whole week and learn about it, because I really enjoy John MacArthur.
Yeah, boy, I do too. And John, let me tell you, you're using a wise methodology there. That's one of the reasons I wanted you to talk about it, because I think some people hearing, okay, here's John, he's reading a commentary, they picture getting a big commentary, sitting down in a chair, cup of coffee beside you, you know, nice reading light, you sit down and read a commentary from beginning to end. I know there are people who do that, and there are people who do that for a reason. But that's not the way I use commentaries. I do it pretty much the way you do it. I'm studying a book, and so I start, and then I read the commentary in light of the study of a book or a portion of scripture. And I think that's probably the most profitable way. Let me ask you, John, while I got you on the phone, what other kinds of stuff do you read?
I ain't a rich person. I'm just a janitor for the local high school, so I mainly stick with R.C. Sproul, John MacArthur. I read a lot of sports stuff like ESPN Draft Magazine and Sporting News Draft Magazine because I'm a football fan. That's about it. History books. I love stuff by William C. Davis about the Civil War, too.
Yes,
I'm a
sir.
Big Civil War buff. And I just watched The Pacific on TV. I'm going to get that on DVD and re-watch that this summer. I don't watch too much TV, but I like the Band of Brothers in The Pacific because our boys sacrificed a lot during World War II.
I like what you're reading there, John. And by the way, that's a real encouragement. And let me tell you, you don't have to have a lot of money to read well. That's another very good to keep in mind. There are still those things called libraries, which are very good and useful. And even as libraries are being redefined by technology and all the rest, they're still there. And I got to tell you, if you're not looking at your local neighborhood secondhand bookstore, you're missing out on a lot. And I will say this. I want community bookstores to survive. I want those small independent bookstores to survive. I'm thankful even for the big chains, the Barnes & Nobles and the Borders, because they're like the great supermarkets, which I can go in and look at books. It's very helpful to be able to look at books, look at a shelf and find something and browse. That is very important, and you can't electronically reproduce what it's like to go into a bookstore. But those secondhand bookstores are important too. And in secondhand bookstores, you can buy what may have cost you, you know, $20 or $30 full price for a recent release just months or a year ago at just rock bottom prices. And that's something to keep in mind. Just the stewardship issue in terms of books, that's an important thing as well. John, God bless you for reading and for your testimony about reading, your own generous sharing with us about what you're doing. And may you really be blessed by reading those commentaries on Romans and Luke this summer, along with your study of God's Word. The phone number is 877-893-8255. That's 877-893-TALK. Let me tell you what I'm recommending here. Now, I'm a theologian, and I've certainly got a lot of books of theology I'd recommend, a lot of books in church history I'd recommend, a lot of biographies I'd recommend, a lot of serious work in biblical studies I'd recommend. But for summer reading, because this is a particular kind of list, I have recommended what I would put in the category of fun books. But they're fun books that have a point. They convey information. Let me just tell you, right off, just an example. The very first book I recommend is Theodore Roosevelt's History of the United States. It's by none other than Theodore Roosevelt, along with Daniel Ruddy. And Mr. Reddy had an outstanding idea, which was to go through all of the many volumes of Teddy Roosevelt's work and pull out all of the historical material and put it together as a book. And let me tell you, it works. It's phenomenal. It's the very first book I reviewed at my website at albertmiller.com, the article entitled Summer Reading, Books Fit for the Season. I loved reading Teddy Roosevelt's Understanding of History. Like Winston Churchill, he was a man who both loved history and made history, and made sure that we knew who he was by the fact that he also wrote history. The phone number to join the conversation is 877-893-8255. That's 877-893-TALK. Back with more. You're listening to the Albert Mueller Program. Welcome back to the Albert Mueller Program. We're talking about summer reading. I put my list up of recommended summer reads. Also a great list for Father's Day gifts at albertmiller.com. The article is entitled Summer Reading, Books Fit for the Season. I mentioned one of the books that I have heartily recommended there, and that's Theodore Roosevelt's History of the United States. I want to know what you're reading. The phone number 877-893-8255. And let's go to Louisville, Kentucky. Jason's listening on WFIA. What are you reading, Jason?
Hi, Dr. Mueller. I'm reading The Grand Jihad, How Islam and the Left Are Sabotaging America by Andy McCarthy.
Yeah.
I kind of got turned on to that book listening to talk radio, and just here it's just almost prophetic in how he's kind of calling out how what's going on in our policy right now, foreign policy and American policy, and how Islam's kind of connected to that. So I've
in other words, current affairs, I think that's good. By the way, Andrew McCarthy has written, I think, a pretty important book there. It's getting a lot of attention, and I think it has pretty much outsold its first printing. So that's a pretty good indication. There's some real interest there. What are you reading?
There's a new one that came out just recently. I believe it's called God, Money, and Capitalism. And he's dealing with a pretty much defending of capitalism and kind of Christianity.
Are you talking about Jay Richards' book, Money, Greed, and God, Why Capitalism is the Solution, Not the Problem?
You know, that might be the right one. I just saw it this morning when I visited the bookstore.
Jay Richards is a good guy, and it's a good book. You know, there are good, better, and best books. I put that pretty high as a very good book. And Jay Richards, I think, has done a good job in that argument. And you're reading a biography, is that right?
I am. John Adams, the Presidential Biography.
Is that the David McCullough?
I'm sorry?
Is that the David McCullough biography?
Yes, that's the one.
Yeah, you know, I got to tell you, if you like history, you got to love David McCullough. Not really an academic historian, but a very credible historian. And let me tell you, just a great writer. And I got to tell you, Jason, just if you haven't had this experience before, let me tell you, you're doing the right thing to read the book. And remember, that's also a miniseries. I think HBO did a miniseries off of the book, and that's probably good, too. But I'll tell you, next to reading the book, the next best thing of David McCullough's books is getting the audiobook if he reads it. The guy has got one of those great voices for reading. I mean, just classic, 24-karat gold. And to hear David McCullough read one of his own books is a phenomenal thing. And one of the things I like to do after I've read the book myself is get the audiobook and listen to it as I'm driving around, going on a trip or something. And you might want to try that. Enjoy the John Adams biography. It's really well done. And Jason, just think about listening to that audiobook too. Not instead of and not before, but after you read the book. And it takes on a different life. You know, when the reader's reading it, I got to tell you, one of the clearest examples of that is listening to Bill Clinton read his own autobiography, his own memoir. And regardless of all the complexities that Bill Clinton represents, hearing him read the book is a very interesting entree into his mind. And you get it through his voice. Very interesting experience. Thanks for your call, Jason. Let's go to Brandy, calling from Louisville, Kentucky. What are you reading, Brandy?
Hi, I'm reading a couple books. First one I'm going to try to get in is The Cost of Discipleship by Dietrich Bonhoeffer. A girlfriend and I have had since from high school. We're going to read it together and kind of do a book group over the phone.
All right.
I just picked that one. And then Wuthering Heights by Emily Bronte. And it's one of those classics I never got around to in college. And then also probably do The Last Stand, just from your recommendation. I really enjoyed some of your books from last summer, so I'm going to try to pick that one up too.
I appreciate it, Brandy, and I really loved The Last Stand, I have to tell you. It combines for me like the intersection of the best possible thing for a fun read, and that is something you always wanted to know more about and someone who's really good at telling you about it. In this case, it's Nathaniel Philbrick, who wrote the book The Last Stand, Custer, Sitting Bull, and The Battle of Little Bighorn. And that's just something I thought, you know, I really want to know more about that. A very controversial, very famous event from American history. And it's really a meaningful thing. It was really a turning point in the nation's history. And Philbrick just does a phenomenal job of telling the story. And you may remember he wrote the book Mayflower, which also was a very, very good read. And his book In the Heart of the Sea that I read two or three summers ago. And that, too, is one of the books you just couldn't put down, but a shipwreck. Very, very, very interesting. Brandy, thanks for calling. You mentioned you're reading The Cost of Discipleship by Dietrich Bonhoeffer. Dietrich Bonhoeffer is one of those Christian authors that that makes us think, but also raises a host of issues. And with Bonhoeffer, I always leave myself kind of scratching my head, wondering exactly where he is theologically and doctrinally, but he has a very brave role to play in church history, staring down the Nazi regime. He has very clear understandings about the problem of cheap grace, and that's going to come through when you read The Cost of Discipleship, a very clear and accurate indictment of the problem of cheap grace. One thing you might want to think about if you're very interested in Bonhoeffer is that there are three big new works on him out this summer. One of them is the biography by Eric Metaxas that's getting a lot of attention and I think is very well done. So you might want to look at that as well. Thanks for your call, Brandy. Let's go to Scott. Scott, what are you reading?
Dr. Mueller, how are you doing, sir?
Doing great. Glad to hear from you.
Thank you for taking my call.
What are you reading?
I don't have enough faith to be an atheist.
You know, I think that is a brilliant, brilliant title. And that's the Norm Geisler book, right?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. You know, isn't that a great title? I mean, you look at that and say, I don't have enough faith to be an atheist. It's a great, great approach to looking at Christian apologetics and really looking at what atheism means. Now, you'll forgive me here, Scott, but let me also recommend my book, Atheism Remix, which was published a couple of years ago by Crossway, that goes directly at the challenge of the new atheism, the Dawkins, Dennett, Hitchens, Sam Harris, new variant to the new atheism. And hopefully you'll find that helpful as well. Appreciate your opportunity for me to at least share that word with you. Let's go to Adam, calling from Huntington, Pennsylvania, listening to WTLR. Adam, what are you reading?
I'm reading Fabricating Jesus this summer and Case for Christ.
Okay, now how did you come up with that? It sounds like you're on a theme.
I am. I'm actually studying at Crown College for my Master's of Arts in Christian Studies.
Good. Now tell me about Crown College. Where is that?
Crown College is located in, I think it's St. Bonifacio, Minnesota.
All right. I'm glad to know of it.
Masters.
All right. Well, good stuff you're reading there. The book Fabricating Jesus is a good expose on what much liberal scholarship has tried to do to the New Testament. And Strobel's A Case for Christ is a good book. And I've actually given it, my wife and I have given it as graduation gifts to high school seniors because it's a good journalistically written approach to defending the Bible's presentation of who Christ is and why Christ matters. We're talking about what you're reading. We're talking about what we should be reading, how we should think about reading. The phone number is 877-893-8255. We'll be back with final thoughts in just a moment. You're listening to the Albert Mueller Program. Talking about summer reading. Just a few minutes left. Let's go to Orlando, Florida. Roger's listening on WHIM. What are you reading, Roger?
Yes, sir. Last summer's controversial book, The Sect. What do you think about it?
Yeah, you know, boy, I don't have enough time. I regret to say everything I think about it, but I've kind of already said it. And I do have grave concerns about the book in terms of what it presents and how it's influencing people. It is a bestseller. It's a publishing sensation, no doubt about it. And I felt I had to respond to it. We've done more than one radio program. I will put the links up at the website today so you can find that easily. And I wrote a major review of it, which you can find at albertmueller.com. Just put in the search for The Shack. But again, we'll put the link up for that, Roger, at today's program. So we'll make it easy for you and others who are interested to find it. Lots of response by Facebook and social media. Nick Rokin wrote in to say he's going to be reading Jonathan Edwards. He's going to be reading Paul David Tripp. He's going to be reading The Story of Legos, Jonathan Bender's book, Lego, A Love Story. Very, very interesting. And he mentions he has read the book 6 Days of War, which I recommended, by Michael Oren. That's on my list of books every man should read. And he's now looking at the book I recommended from my top 10 list this summer, entitled Empire of the Southern Moon, which is a study of the rise and fall of the Comanche Nation. Very, very interesting. Ricky wrote in to say he's working through the Together for the Gospel book list as well, reading The Unquenchable Flame. That's a great book about church history. And Joel wrote in to say he's going to be reading The Brothers Karamazov by Dostoevsky. You know, that's a heavy read. God bless you, Joel. Go into it. It's worth reading. Dostoevsky has a keen sense of how characters reveal morality. As you read that, you're going to come across that. He's also going to be reading books like We Are Not Professionals by John Piper, and some very interesting things having to do with devotional and theological reading. Interesting stuff talked about all the way from theology to salt. As we're just thinking about reading, one of the things that kind of makes the summer fun is that hopefully we take the time, set apart some time, to read some of the things we really don't have time to read at other times of the year. I made my list, my recommended list, at albertmiller.com. I actually didn't get a chance during the program today to go through that list as I had expected, but it's there for you to read. You'll find it at albertmiller.com. Look for the article, Summer Reading, Books Fit for the Season. It will be the top link under today's program at the website as well to make it easy for you to find. Those books, I think, would really, really please any father, and give him a book that will actually be read. Books about planes, trains, automobiles, Indians, cowboys, criminals, battles, good stuff. When it comes to reading, in some ways we never grow up, we never grow old, and we shouldn't. Back next week with Intelligent Christian Conversation. Thanks for listening to the Albert Mohler Program.
Thanks for listening, and be sure to visit our website, www.albertmohler.com. You'll find archives of past shows and other important resources. You can also email your questions and comments. That's www.albertmohler.com. Be sure to join us next time for the Albert Mohler Program, your place for intelligent Christian conversation about the issues that matter.